Homer too.
Said that Homer was really sick. He didn't tell you any of the details on that?
No, he just told me that he thought, you know, that Homer was sick, and I told him, you know, when I was down there, was a month ago, whatever, the last part of January, I thought he looked just bad.
Well, apparently he looks worse now. He went to the doctor yesterday when Homer was down there, and he's back at the doctor today. And, you know, Homer told me not to mention it to anybody, and but it may be real bad. You know, the only thing he would say was that he had a severe nervous disorder. And he's been, Homer thinks he's taking pills. He's been on Valium, and he's drinking. And he just knocked himself out the other night when they were up there. They went out and everybody had a couple of drinks. Well, Homer didn't stop, and he'd been taking Valium. He just passed cold out. And at one point, Homer said, I don't know if it was that night, but maybe just recently, he went crazy or just started acting real weird. And he's been going to the doctor for it, and I think that Crawford is fixing to order him to get it handled. You know, go to the doctor, find out what's wrong, do whatever it takes to get right. And don't come to work, and don't come to Austin, and don't do anything until it's done. He's been eating like a fucking horse. He's losing weight, and he's real pale and drawn and everything. Just looks like hell, on top of being, you know, kind of flaky in the brain. But apparently it's a big, you know, hush-hush deal. Nobody wants anybody else to know about it. But,
Were you in there that night when Gail was telling us about the big... He was getting sores in the inside of his mouth?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember Gant saying something about Homer. Yeah. And specifically, I don't remember what it was, but apparently it's gotten to the point now where it's, you know, like really serious. And of course, Homer thinks that part of it has to do with Homer drinking and taking pills, which is entirely possible, but. Of course, Homer has no sympathy for anybody with a problem, so I just said I hoped everything improved and improved quickly, but we sure as hell need him down here. We're going to. Did he tell you about the time schedule for taking the rest of the stores?
Yeah.
I guess you were in on that deal.
That would piss me, you know, kind of piss me off.
Well, why?
Well, it's just their whole fucking attitude, you know.
Well, who's? Our side or their side?
Gant and Homer, you know. They, you know, Homer came in this morning, well, after he got in this morning, and came back and was back in his back running stuff and started talking to me in a real low-key voice back there, you know, bookkeeper back there, Greg
yeah.
was there, so I said, hey, well, okay, Greg, you do this, this, and this, and so I said, well, you know, let's go to my office and talk about it. So we went to my office, and he was telling me, he said, well, you know, Homer's always been kind of wishy-washy, depending on which way the wind is blowing on doing this thing. Sometimes let's do it, and other times, you know, let's do half-ass. And, and so he said, well, you know, I was down there, and, man, everything is just in a mess, and there's people running around, you know. I really think that, you know, we ought to take the whole thing as quick as possible because, you know, some of the aspects of the, you know, they're just, everything they're doing is just fucked up and, the, you know. And so I said, well, I agree, you know, I said, had that opinion for a long time. I've known it before, you know, they did. And getting all the, you know, the transmissions in from it, just pure garbage, and all the statements coming out with the prior year stuff gone, you know, just so many little, you know, obvious indicators that things are not well, you know, and in management is, in, you know, you brought it up and they were, oh, no, I mean, would never, you know, would never say anything about it. So.
Well, Crawford's been pushing it, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had a talk with him when he was down for the last set of board meetings. He asked me about, you know, the, you know, point blank, said, hey, I want to get all the rest of the stores down here. Said, you know, how do you stand? And, oh, well, like today, so, okay, Hallmark and I said, let's see what it takes to get, you know, get all of them down here, okay? So he said, well, I'll corner again, and I'll come holler at you. We'll get together. Okay, super. So I'm doing something else. Come back. Well, now, okay, the same thing, Greg, you do this and this, and I go in there, you know, and so we get in there, and the first thing, you know, question number one is, well, if we bring all the stores down, does that mean that you need two new bookkeepers? I said, fuck yeah, I need two new bookkeepers, you know? Considering that we just pull eight of them down, and added nobody, everybody's choking. I'm talking about hiring one, you know, just to cover my ass, and now they're going to dump 15 more, and does that mean that I need two? And I said, yeah. I got to have
They've two. Got two. They got more than two. I know. On the 15
well,
now.
The clinch are still coming. I need two. Okay.
Two and Homer. Is that what they said?
No. So two, and then they said, well, okay, April 1. You know, that's when we're bring them down. You hired two.
Minimum audition.
No, 15.
Oh, that's
April
what they were
1.
Talking about?
Yeah, 15. April 1, you hired two bookkeepers. And I said, okay. And then the man said, well, goddamn, you know, I mean, we're going to have two extra people on the payroll for a whole month.
What does he think they're going to do? Sit around with their thumb up their ass?
What? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, couldn't you just, you know, wait till the last week in March and hire two, and then we can bring them down that way? And I was just almost fabulous. I went, you know, you people are so fucking, you know, not even close to tune what's going on. And, you know, then what it all boils down to is, you know, ever since December, you know, I've been busting ass with taxes and da-da, and, you know, working with my people, and my people doing a great job. We absorbed this shit. And, you know, okay, you know, we'll just keep shoving shit at you till you squeak, you know. And so I'm going, minimum two bookkeepers, and, you know, that's just the minimum. So then I hit him up and said, okay, look, I need another encoder. The one we got, we're bringing all those checks down. I said, I need another fancy model encoder. This one at a time bar, and it ain't going to do it. The $2,700, that's what it cost to buy one. Well, can't you lease one? I said, well, I'm sure I can. I haven't got the price. Well, find out about the leasing and then get back with it.
Well, are we leasing the one we've got?
Yeah, we're leasing the two little manual ones. You know, the one here and the one in Abilene. The fancy one we bought.
Oh, we did. I didn't remember that. Yeah, that's right.
One we bought, you know.
That's right.
And so, okay, great. I just, you know. So he and Hallmark.
I don't see what the shit they're griping about. Goddamn, he can spend $3,000 on his parquet oak desk. And when we need office equipment, he squeaks.
So, again, you know, so Hallmark said, well, you know, get me together some figures on how much money we're going to save by consolidating the accounting office.
He came in and asked me, he said, oh, Mark, came in, I might need your help on some things. Okay, fine, what do you need? You know, he was telling me this cost analysis of hiring, of taking all those stores, you know, what kind of money we'd be saving. I said, we're not going to save any money. I said, we're probably going to spend more money. Because Abilene County doesn't spend as much money as we do, not near, you know, even though their rents are. And he was just, I know, but I got to get it down. I said, God damn, does everything have to come down to dollars and cents? This is ridiculous. Can't we just take it on because it's right and we can improve it and do it better and faster? Doesn't that make any difference at all? No, it's got to be in dollars and cents.
Yeah, so, you know, after you talk, sometime before, after you talk to you, he comes into my office, well, you know, on this computer hardware, so I don't know the fucking fog is. Have any idea what we're paying or what it is?
Oh, he was pissing about that to me.
I know. And so he said, well, how much, you know, okay, so I drag out the invoices and said, okay, you know, and we got this system up in Abilene, we own the processing, we're leasing the slave, we're leasing the, you know, the power pack, we're leasing the printer, and if, assuming when we can cancel the leasing, we'll say, I think it was $376, you know, add on top of that another $160 for the modem. So we're up to, you know, what I thought were respectable savings. Okay, he leaves, he comes back, said, well, you know, that piece of computer gear, you know, that process you just ordered, why don't you just cancel it? I said, Hallmark, well, it can't be canceled. I signed a 12-month agreement on the thing. Well, couldn't you just call them up and explain our situation to them and see if maybe they couldn't find another customer? You know, for the, I said, Homer, the sales rep told me that, you know, the ship date, she's going to know probably the first part of March is we're going to have it the first week in March. I said, you know, ain't no way, you know, it's just, and, you know, that pissed me off.
Well, I don't understand. Was he recommending that you take Abilene's equipment?
Yeah, well, see, the
in place of the new one that you've ordered?
Right, the processor up there is ours.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and the reason I'm pissed off because before I signed the agreement for this rental thing, I asked Kent point blank, mm-hmm. you know, be so much simpler to, rather than me ordering another processor to mm-hmm. just jerk that one down from Abilene, pull everything into Austin. Mm-hmm. Now that's, you know, we're shooting for doing consolidating accounting offices sometime after GCR's year end. You know, because they were going to bring down this market manager, supermarket manager, or whatever. So that falls through. And even after I come back from Abilene, Homer and them were talking about, you know, well, you know, we're going to give you a middle of Odessa come the 1st of April. So I came back and told Gantz, I said, you know, they're talking about moving everything down, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, that's early as possible. There wouldn't, ain't no way, you know, that ain't goes into all this. And here it is, you know, a week and a half later, mm-hmm. and boy, everything is completely 180 degrees, and they're coming crunching me mm-hmm. trying to save some bucks because they can't make a fucking decision and stick by it, you know.
Well, you've always got that. I mean, you operated under the knowledge that you were given at the time, double-checked all your...
And what really pisses me off about it is that, you know, all this shit's being dumped on us. We ain't even considered, you know. Nobody even has said, hey, well, look, you know, Paul, you know, you're going into work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and most of the time you work till 6 o'clock at night, and you don't take a lunch break, and you got all this, you know, responsibility. You have to add two new people that you're going to have to supervise, you know, maybe not real closely, but, you know, when somebody leaves or we got a problem, fucking, you don't see Deanna or Hallmark sitting up there late, and, you know, their big concern is, well, how much is it going to cost, and how much are we going to have to pay Homer extra to get him to come down to Austin?
Yeah.
Fuck him. He can stay up in Abilene. He don't do shit anyway. I just really, you know.
Well, why, you ought to make that known, because you need to have one of your little conversations with Jimmy Dan, because he will understand you from that, you know, attitude. They're not thinking about the fact, because you haven't brought it up in a long time, about your working hours and your responsibilities and the fact that every change they make like this just... it directly affects your workload.
Yeah, I know, and you told them the same thing, like when we brought down, you know, those 8 sets of books as far as our bookkeepers. I said, look, guys, I said, what I want to do is I want to go the first month without hiring anybody. And then I want to hire somebody.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of know what direction things are going, know a little bit about, you know, where. And it's just, you know.
Yeah.
I get pissed off like this sometimes.
You know what? It right in line with that, too. After, you know, the other night when you and Hallmark and Gant were talking, and you were talking about me and stuff I was going to be doing, well, you know, Hallmark came in to me the next day, and first thing he says, and it was practically in the form of a command.
Well, see, he doesn't know how to, you know, suggest that, look, you know, here's what I want you to do, you know, it's kind of just...
No, and, you know, just kind of out with it, and he just dropped it on me. It was, you know, something that was great. I liked it. Was the fact he said, I want you to get out of doing payrolls on Mondays. Okay, no problem, fine and dandy, you know, but that kind of leaves me high and dry. All I can do is split it up between the other two girls that are already doing it, who are already up to their ass mm-hmm. in an extra workload that they've just gotten because of the new stores. And, shit, you know, if I do that, then they're going to have more than they can handle now. I mean, immediately. At least Jeannie will. I don't know about Judy.
Another thing that, you know, ticks me off is the Cheryl attitude that they've got, you know.
Yeah, you know, what happened with that today? I know you had
a
talk with her.
You want some vino?
No, I want to drink a root beer. I felt sorry for her. She came in and she talked to me a couple of times today, and with this pregnancy thing, and her attitude, I don't know how, what you said to her today, but she talked to me before she went into you, or in between your conversations or something, and she was just, you know, blah, blah, not a trouble in the world, nobody's going to give a shit if I take off for 4 months, blah, 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 and I'm sitting there going, Cheryl, fuck, your job is on the line, come on.
Yeah, I know, because she came in, you know, and, well, you know, when I talked to Gant and them, they said, well, you know, well, shit, you know. Only thing you can tell her is that she'll have to take a leave of absence, and when she gets ready to come back to work, if we got a job for her, great, and if she don't, tough. You know, the woman that's worked for me for 5 years, she's sweated blood sometimes, she's done a good job. I just, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then after we had that meeting, then I talked to Homer and I said, look, I ain't, you know, I want to make a deal with Cheryl, and if it's, you know, gonna
hair lip
somebody, fuck them, it's gonna hair lip somebody. If they want to override me and say no, well, they're gonna have to do it, you know, and I'm gonna say, look, I was overridden because I don't think this is a fair shake. So he said, well, why don't you just, you know, get some things in writing and come back, you know, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I can see Cheryl writing, I will not have any problems with my pregnancy. I will return to work regardless if I have a mongoloid kid and no ovaries.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
So, amongst all the other things, I put it off. So today I said, fuck, let's talk to Cheryl. See, I said, okay, look, what exactly, you know, it's been confirmed you're pregnant, you know what dates you're supposed to be due and everything. I said, what do you want to do? So she said, well, I'd like to take off for 8 weeks. And, you know, and she goes, her standpoint was primarily the monetary thing, that I can't really afford to be out of work for 6 weeks, which is probably what the doctor's going to make me stay out. And she was under the impression if she stayed out 8 weeks, she could draw whatever.
LTD. Well, I think it's only 30 days since she can draw long-term disability.
Oh, sure it is, too.
Well, we checked on it today. I pulled out the little book, and I think what they call the elimination period is 30 days. Now, I'm not sure that the LTD is still covering pregnancy. I'll have to call Roy Helen on that or somebody. I don't even know how to file for that crap. We don't know what it covers. But what I hate to tell her is that she's not going to get very damn much money. They don't pay anything for the first 30 days. I mean, it's not that you just have to be out. You just don't get paid for it. That's my understanding. And then after that, they pay something like two-thirds
of your... 66 and two-thirds of your gross.
Two-thirds of your gross, you know, and that's...
Well, it's better than nothing.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Poking an eye with a sharp stick.
a little bit. Not that much. I don't know. Insurance is not going to get her by, though.
Even that, you know, how am I going to survive 2 months?
I don't know. It's going to be hard.
What, is she doing 10 sets of books?
Yeah. You know? No, she's not doing 10 anymore. But, you know, that's true. But on the other hand, I don't know. I'm trying to look at it from both viewpoints. It is going to be tough for the period of time she's gone. But I don't think 2 months is unreasonable. I really don't.
Okay. I'm not saying that. I understand, you know, I can be excited for her for, you know, she wants to be pregnant. She wants to have a child. I can understand that, and I can be glad for her and all that. And that, to me, is a person. And I think, just like what you said, what she's asked is not unreasonable. And then, you know, with all that said, I'm not, you know, I believe that, and that's the way I feel. But when I get behind the desk,
yeah, I know,
and I'm there, okay, I've got, you know, 8-10 sets of books that I ain't, you know, are not going to be done, and I'm going to have to delegate, okay, you, and you are going to do this, and they're going to bitch to high heaven, you know, about it. And at first, you know, when they first start off, it won't be too much, but for 2 months, you know, that's going to be, and then somebody's going to go on vacation, or somebody's going to quit, or somebody's going to do something, and I'm going to have a big mess, and I'm not going to be able to, you know, right now everything is predicated on people we've got are fairly well trained, they're very conscientious, their morale is real good, but that situation ain't always gonna stay.
No, I know, and you know, I've had these little dark, forbidding thoughts about this whole deal anyway, about her pregnancy, because, you know, Cheryl, and you know how she is health-wise and all that kind of stuff, which is not good. This pregnancy is going to be hard on her regardless of
that. I agree.
And I also have this, I just had this undercurrent of feeling about Cheryl that I think that if she had a good enough excuse not to work, she would not work. Now, I don't know, she's always been, you know, always been there, she's always done her job, she's reliable in the extreme, but I just have this feeling about Cheryl that if she could use this pregnancy as an excuse not to come back to work, she won't. Now, I could be totally wrong. I know that they can't afford that.
Yeah, I know. I think she probably feels that way, but I think the monetary thing.
Yeah, you're probably right. That may,
you know, there's no way that James can hack it. And the only other possibility is her father.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I just really think that worrying about that is too damn soon. When's her due date?
October.
October?
Yeah. See, that's one of just kind of my little long range thing, but point I was trying to make was that I wasn't real pleased at the, you know, at the way management, you know, people their attitude toward the things. And I told Hallmark, you know, I said, look, I don't, you know, the days when, you know, you could tell a pregnant woman, you know, you lost your job or you got pregnant.
That's gone.
That's gone. You're
treading on thin ice there.
Fuck. I just...
That is thin ice. I think every effort ought to be made in her behalf.
It will be ultimately on our behalf. Yeah, I plan on doing everything in my power, you know, and...
Well, I don't know.
But like you said, that's, you know, such a long way off. Hopefully, middle summer, I'll, you know, have quite a few other unknowns become knowns, and I'll be able to solve
my problem. And not only that, too. Yeah, that's true. By that time, any new bookkeepers we get now will be proficient by then, and we may be able to absorb, you know, if Cheryl doesn't get any more stores than she's got right now. Which I don't know how you're planning on handling the new one.
I ain't even thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I think it might could be absorbed.
Yeah, but
on a temporary basis.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not. My primary concern is making sure she gets a fair shake out of the deal.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if she wants to have a reasonable amount of time to be off, you know, and have her pregnancy and you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure, that she can, and that if she wants to come back to work for us, some way or another, we're going to have, you know, a mm-hmm. job for her. It may not be the same sets of books she's doing and whatever, but, you know, but I don't know, I just...
Put her back on store control. Oh, God. Well, I still think it's too early to worry about it. There's too many other things to worry about right now.
You know, what it's going to amount to is that we're going to absorb the Abilene Accounting Office when they had like 23 sets of books with two people. You know,
mm-hmm.
no increase in data processing. You know, two bookkeepers, and you're going to be ditching off your payroll, you know.
I won't be ditching off my payroll because I can't. I can't do that. Right now, I don't give a shit what they think. And that Monday, relieving me of the Monday part of it, you know, every other Monday doing those, that is nothing. That is, what does that turn out to be, 5 hours every 2 weeks or something like that? That's not where I'm hurting on the payroll. Where I'm hurting is checking every goddamn thing that goes through there and doing the tax returns and that kind of stuff. Worrying, being responsible for writing the letters to IRS, which I got another good one in today. I'm so pissed. I'm going to have to go back down there. You know what they've done? It's just ridiculous. They say we owe taxes for 1981 on River Oaks. And they sent me a letter today with an amount of tax due. The penalty and interest that they've levied on that is almost equal to the tax. It's almost 100%. And I did my little math on it today. There's a letter that says penalty cannot exceed 25% of the tax due, interest is charged at 20% per year. I did my little math on that, and it's nowhere fucking close to what they put on that letter. Not only that, the tax is not due. I sent them copies of the canceled checks 6 months ago. It just pisses me off so bad. You would not believe how much time I waste on little pilly-ass shit from the government like that. I get in an average of 6 or 7 TEC notices a week, which means writing letters, contacting store managers, digging out employee files. I get an average of 6 or 7 letters from the IRS every week, which requires twice that much.
Well, you know what? I think last month we had 3 different federal agencies wanting us to provide them information.
I know it.
We had the Census Bureau, the Office of Management and Budget, and we had the Bureau of Labor Statistics wanting all this shit. And the damn people from the Census Bureau, they call you on the 5th of the month wanting the sales for the prior month. And I said, lady, look, I ain't even got the documents in yet. I ain't got the, you know, the sales tickets in. and you're wanting to sell. She said, well, we will accept estimates. Well, fuck, she got estimates. And she called back and bitches about the estimates because they weren't what they were last month. It sure is a great big reduction since last month.
Had a bad month, lady.
You know.
You need to go out and buy some new tires for your car.
Then we had this, I don't know if I told you this, about this idiot from, I'm almost sure it was, it wasn't the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the other one I just named. Anyway, he calls me about this report. And the guy obviously is black, you know, from the way he, you can just tell,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he proceeds to ask me why, or he said he wanted some figures off of this report. He'd received the report, but it was incomplete. So, okay, great. We start with, you know, block A, you know, what is the report, you know. And he proceeds to give me this 6 or 7 digit number followed by 2 alpha prefixes or whatever describing the report. That means nothing to me. I said, what color is it? Well, he couldn't decide if it was pink or white. What color is the report? You know, and he said, why don't you just pull your copy? And I said, look, contrary to what you may believe, I don't keep copies of your reports. And he said, well, you signed it. And I said, most likely I did not sign that report. I had somebody else sign that report. Mm-hmm. I said, if I signed every report that y'all sent me, I said, I'd be back here, you know, doing this. Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We go through this stuff, and I said, look, let me talk to my secretary, Bonnie. She can probably answer your question. So I transfer her up there, hit Bonnie on a bad day. Bonnie, rawr, you know? And she gets a hold of this guy.
Oh, God.
And, you know, 15 minutes later, she buzzes me back. She says, I am not getting anywhere with this idiot. He can't even ask a question. You know? Let me have him back. You know, so I get back on him, you know. I said, look, what is your question? What, you know, what part of the report is it that is incomplete to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you know, we go back to some stuff that he told Bonnie, and he said, well, are you, you know, does this corporation own another, you know, corporation? I said, no. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the only relationship we have with this corporation is that we own at least 51% of his stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, great. So we start off with his question is, what is your accrued expenses?
Oh, God.
Okay, so I said, all right, wait a minute. I said, accrued expenses. Now, I said, are you talking about the expenses that we paid for, you know, for operation? And I said, okay, well, let's assume that's what you mean. What time period are you talking about? Are you talking about this 1 month, September of 82 is what he's asking about? Are you talking about the calendar year, year to date? Are you talking about the store's physical year? I said, you know, give me a clue. What are you talking about? Well, then he was really confused. I gave him 3 different choices on what kind of accrued expenses he wanted. And so then we get down, he said, well, you know, the expenses that you have to run your business, you know. And I said, well, okay, great. You want 1 month? You want 9 months? You want 12 months? What do you want? You know, well, then after we get into this deal, you know, and he kept saying accrued expenses. He told me to read it right off mm-hmm. the form. And I said, look. The word accrued does not go with the word expenses. Accrued is for payables, balance sheet. Expenses are P&L items, you know.
You shouldn't have ever said that.
You know, well then all of a sudden, you know, then we're down to it. Okay, liability. Oh, man, we had a buzzword. He knew what liability meant. So then it turns out what the idiot wanted was the liability section. What was our total liability as of September 1982. So you give him that? Yeah, think of that. And then we got to asset. Do you have fixed assets? I said, yes, we have fixed assets. Well, what is their value? You know, I said, okay, look, we got 2 kinds of values. We got the gross that we pay for them, and we got the net asset or after the depreciation, mm-hmm. after the allowance for depreciation. Which do you want? You know, well, that. Give him a number. He blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, baby, you're getting the gross, you know. Bam, give him that, write it out, and got him off the phone. And then right after, 2 days after that, we get 3 more of these goddamn things in.
Same report
on different corporations. I buzzed up to Bonnie, and I said, look, we am not getting a hold of the same idiot again. I said, I'm personally trashing these 3. Anybody calls you and asks about them, disavow all knowledge.
We did not receive them.
Did not receive them. We don't know. We don't care.
That's what I've been doing with the
I think it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics that's been sending that one on the Valley stores. They send it, you know, I get one about once every 4 or 5 months, and it says, "We have not received your monthly report for," and I'm just like, oh shit. And I have thrown away every single one of them because I can't find it in writing anywhere where I have to fill it in. And it's got more information on it than a person would ever need to know for anything ever.
There's something I was reading on, you know, those W-3s. Did you take a little second and read that the Paperwork Reduction Act?
I have read every fucking piece of writing.
There's a little clause on there. It said the Paperwork Reduction Act of such and such whatever says that we must tell you if you have to provide this information to us. And on the W-3, it says you must.
Yes.
I think I'm going to... You know, I'm gonna say, well, you didn't have the official notification of the Paper Reduction Act, so I threw it away.
Really?
Hey, what did you poop on our trip?
I got a receipt today for the deposit.
Okay, are we all confirmed?
Yeah.
And we're staying.
We gotta pay the balance by April or March 7th.
Okay. We all confirmed it. What, the Presidente?
Yeah.
Is Linda going to stay in the same room with us?
Yep.
Okay, good. One thing we need to find out before we go down there, you know, after Mexico went through all these, are still going through all these serious monetary problems.
Yep.
They at one time, you know, they nationalized all of the banks.
Yeah.
And they also imposed some currency restrictions.
Well, I'm sure they'll take dollars.
No, that's the problem. You go down there with a fistful of dollars, and you can't come back with a fistful of dollars. See, they've got a two-tier system on their exchange rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pesos. They exchange at the official rate, and then if you're a corporation, you get some kind of other rate. Well, the thing to do is to change your dollars for pesos before you go down there. You can get more pesos for dollars over here than you can over there. Okay? But then they also have some currency restrictions. If you take dollars over there, you can only bring back like $200 out of the country. And that's something we need to find out, because I don't want to go down there with $300 in dollars, and I get to, you know, trying to come out, and they make me change, you know,
dollars to pesos
at a lower rate to bring them back.
Well,
you can go down to, you know, Austin National and get, you know, whatever it's up to, 95 to 1 or something like that, pesos to a dollar. That's what I will do going down there, but I do want to take some dollars across, too.
Well, I think I can get the travel agent to find out about that.
Yeah, just after, what kind of currency restrictions
Okay.
they have on it.
Oh, well, that little notice I got today also said that prices were subject to change until payment in full was made.
Okay. Well, how much we paid, 100 and a half.
We owe
$300.
A total of, for the three of us, we owe a total of $534. $179 each. It's $178 each.
Okay. How much more did you say?
$534.
That pays off the whole the whole thing, locks in the price, right? Let me do a little cash flow tomorrow and see. I might be able to just pay the whole thing out.
Well, I don't think there's any need to, because I really don't think the price is going to fluctuate. If anything, it'll go down, because we're at the tail end of the cheap season.
Well, one thing you need to do is just follow Linda and make sure she gets either a birth certificate, a voter's registration card, or a passport. Any one of the three will get her in.
She knows all about it.
Okay. Was she born in Texas?
No. New Mexico. Born in Rockland.
Because she might ought to start trying to get some stuff dug up. Also, on her going diving with us, too, we're going to need to try to round us up a sea card.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I couldn't remember if all of hers had pictures on them or not.
I don't think it matters, as long as her hair is the same color.
Well, if we could get one without a picture, it would be preferable.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, Pat and Kay are the only two I know. Nancy's got a C card. I don't know about her.
Well, I could probably get a hold of Daryl's little girlfriend, Tracy.
I
don't want to do that.
No, I
know
I think we can make other arrangements.
I know she's got a C card in there. Picture on it.
Well, I want her to get her own mask, snorkel, that kind of thing.
So we're going to leave, what, on a Thursday?
4:30, the plane leaves.
What? Well, that's almost exactly the same schedule we had when we
were before. It is the same schedule. Hey, what do you want to do? You want to drive to Houston? Or you want to fly?
No, let's fly.
Well,
I mean, I'm not so bad going down, but coming back is the killer.
Well, we'll get back into Houston about 3 Sunday.
I just can't get excited about sitting 3 hours in a car.
Well, I'll call the airport and see what kind of connections we can get, but hell, we may sit in the airport for 3 hours.
We can, get any kind of near good connection. I'd prefer to fly.
Of course, we'll have to go through customs.
Got to go through customs anyway.
I know. I'm saying it's going to be a bigger delay.
That's right. Coming back through customs on a Sunday is a bad thing, isn't it?
You remember that?
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to do that anyway. It doesn't matter what we...
God, I just hope it's after everybody's spring break.
Well, that friend of Jones that came in and applied for that job, I thought she was pretty good.
Somebody came in and applied for a job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonesy told me that it was a girl at her apartment complex that was, looking for a job, and she was, I think she only been here 2 weeks in Kentucky.
What'd you think of her?
I told her, she was making like $7 an hour in Kentucky.
You're kidding.
I said, hey, well, look, what I want to offer you's not going to be anywhere near. I said, I'm interested if you are, you just need to let me know. And I'm fixing to crank up on interviewing. People probably next week. But she has a real good personality. Absolutely no bookkeeping experience. She got a degree in education.
No, that's all right. How old is she?
I don't know. She's young.
Is she working now?
No, she was some kind of surgical assistant or something. Had a bunch of medical, slicing people open.
Get these away from me. Well, I go to the eye doctor tomorrow. I tell you what, everybody's gotten me paranoid.
What's that?
Oh, all this shit about retina detachment being hereditary. Of course, you can't talk to mother, about something like that. She just goes into orbit, She's convinced I'm going to be blind by the time I'm 31.
Well, I'm wrong did not tell me that it was hereditary.
You lied to me.
I probably overstated the case.
I'm going to ask him point blank. My husband said that you told him. I'm going to say, and that puts you at odds with Dr. Richard Ruiz, the foremost eye surgeon in the whole world.
He did not tell me that it was hereditary.
He probably would. Well, I'm glad you said that. Now, see, I've been worrying needlessly.
what he did say was, I asked him quite a few questions. I asked him about...
Well, did you tell him about my...
Well, I asked you first of all, I said, what's your opinion of the Russian cure for nearsightedness? Mm-hmm. Boy, that set him back to saying, yeah, what the fuck is he talking about? He went, oh! He said, we do it all the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, very successful. And I said, well, when you say successful, what are we talking about? 50-50? And he said, no. He said, 80-20. He said, in your case, it'd probably be a little bit better than 80-20. He said, assuming that the only problem you've got is nearsightedness. He said, it's, real good. And I asked him, I said, okay, well, next group of questions, how much did it cost? Mm-hmm. And he proceeded to completely, he just acted like I never asked that question. He just went on about it so soon. And I said, okay, got another question for you. I said, on detached retinas, I said, my wife's father has, both his eyes just real bad. Both been detached and been operated on a couple of times. I said, is that hereditary? He said, well, I tell you what, I'd recommend that if she's nearsighted, I said, well, if she's not nearsighted, she's severely nearsighted, that, she'd have a checkup minimum once a year. What did he say minimum? He said once a year.
Well, I knew that. I knew I was supposed to. Everybody's supposed to do that.
And I said, well, I said, I'm not even sure, Doc, she's ever been to an ophthalmologist.
Oh, God damn!
Boy, he just went into fucking orbit when I said that.
You
he
should.
He said, obstetricians?
You mean she can't speak English?
Huh?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I can't believe that. I've been going to ophthalmologist since I was 1 year old.
And he looked at me and he said, well, you're the boss in the family, aren't you? I said, Doc, it don't work that way all the time, And he said, well, tell her, please, go and have her eyes.
I'm going to have to set Wong straight
He never remember. He, I promise you, he has got the nicest,
nicest,
quote-unquote, bedside manner. And, I hadn't been to him in 6 years, and he acted like, well...
Well, you never went to him before, did you?
Yeah, this was the second time. He examined my eyes, and I said, look, my dad has just recently been diagnosed with glaucoma. But on my mother's side, I got a couple of uncles that got glaucoma. Make sure you check, Mm-hmm. So he checked it, and he said, man, you're in perfect shape, no problem. So I said, okay, I got one other little problem. I've been told I've got elevated blood pressure, and one of the doctors told me that, the first thing to go is a little veins in your eyes. I said, well, we'll check it out, baby. He said, no problem. He said, how high is your blood pressure? And I said, the last couple times I had it checked, it's been real good. But he said, have you lost a lot of weight or something? And I said, no, I've been, basically the same way.
On the contrary.
And he said, well, just keep on doing whatever you're doing. He said, everything looks good. But he's not about to, ball you out, I don't think, about
it. No, I don't think he is either.
What's really funny, like when he tested my eyes, I told him, or I told the nurse, she's, well, are you having problems? I said, lady, I'm not having problems. I said, I think that perhaps my prescription may need to be changed. Plus, that I haven't, haven't seen anybody in a number of years. She said, well, have you seen anybody since the last time you were here? And I said, no. She said, well, 1976. I said, well, that's it, And so he comes in and, he starts showing me, is this better, is this better? And I said, well, Doc, I really, those two are real close, And he said, well, Mr. Lemke said we could change your prescription. But he said, it's... everything looks so good. He said, I'm really amazed at how good a shape your contacts are in. They were both grilling me about how long I wore them, And he said, I think the reason they're such good shape is because you got them on all the time.
Yeah.
Boy,
they're going to die when they see mine, because mine are cleaner than, this fucking table. Mine are twice as clean as yours.
Yeah,
that's so funny, too, because the last time I went to the eye doctor, I just went to get my contacts cleaned. I haven't been since I moved to Austin. But that time that it's been 6 years, I know. When Dee Dee hurt her eye, she went to that Dr. Leslie, and I took her, and I had him clean my contacts while I was there, and that was the first time that had been done. Oh God, I don't know, 5 years for that, and they were saying how amazingly clean they were. Couldn't believe it.
Well, he said mine had a real good film on them, but he said doesn't hardly have any scratches. He said, well, I'm going to go ahead and clean them for you.
That's pretty weird, since how you just dunk him in over
it. And I'm considering that I clean them with Colgate toothpaste. I didn't tell him I did that.
Oh,
I don't know if they...
That's all right. That's been recommended before.
And I couldn't remember if he would, had told me to do that, or if it was you or somebody else, to use that Colgate toothpaste on rather than that.
No, that's okay. They won't object to that. The only thing they object to is sticking them in your mouth, which I do all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Midland, when I got, oh God, I don't know, I must have been in high school. I remember I went to the doctor once. My eye doctor there, he was real good, and I really liked him. But I had been putting my contacts in my mouth for as long as I could remember. Somebody told me to do it. You know, no problem. I was in there one day, and a friend of mine was there, and we were having an argument as to whether or not it was all right to put your contacts in your mouth. And so the doctor walked through the office, and I asked him, you know, Dr. Makeley, isn't it okay to, you know, put your contacts in your mouth and clean them and put them back in your eye? He looked at me. He stopped cold in the middle of the office. He looked at me and just went, my God, and turned around and walked out without even answering my question. I've still been doing it. What else can you do?
Very convenient place for them.
I know it. Yeah. But I always worry about it because, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get tar and nicotine on them. So Dale and Nancy are going camping this week. I just really don't feel like going out there.
I don't feel like driving down there, and I'm, you know, I'm probably going to have a bunch of shit to do here.
I could work my ass off all weekend, too. You know, I've done 3 of those special closes so far. What I could do on them. I was working on Independence Park today. What a mess.